It's Memorial Day. Tomorrow, actually. I had an experience that really drove home to me how blessed we are to be in this country. I've had several articles and have a lesson that deals with Islam. And there was a movie out recently that a guy produced. And both he and I got threats from some Muslims who said, we are going to kill everybody that is associated with the United States government for this activity. Well, that happened about 3 weeks ago, and I've been in direct email with this guy now for quite a period of time. And one of the first things he said was, the reason we hate the American government is because of the stuff the government puts out through people like you. And I said, well, what I put out was not anything to do with the government. It was from my own study of the Quran. And the movie the guy put out, which was most unfortunate, was his own personal viewpoint. It had nothing to do with the government. And he said, that's not possible. And I said, you mean in your country you can't say anything publicly unless the government approves it? And he said, well, yes, that's true of all countries. And I said, not America. Not America. I don't know whether I've got him convinced yet or not. He's honest. He's open. But tomorrow's Memorial Day. There's an interesting history to Memorial Day. Just briefly, on the back of your bulletin, I have some more details, but the first thing that started Memorial Day happened on June the 3rd of 1861, when soldiers that had fought in the Civil War and were buried in Warrenton, Virginia, had some folks decorate their graves. 1861. After Lincoln's assassination in 1865, there was a formal observance of Decoration Day, as it was called, in Charleston, South Carolina, on May the 1st. Our state of Michigan, in 1868, labeled the day Decoration Day. And on May the 30th, Michigan was the first state to honor those who had died in defense of this country. It was 100 years later, in 1971, when the day was labeled Memorial Day and the date was changed to the last Monday in May. Those who observe this day will, tomorrow, they will raise the American flag to the top of the staff, and then they will lower it halfway until noon. That is to celebrate the more than 1 million people who have given their lives so that we can live in this great country. And then at noon, it will be raised back up to the top. And that will be to resolve not to give up the fight for liberty and justice for all. It's hard for me to imagine any time I wrote an article having to get government approval. And in this country right now, with the view of many people in the government, I probably would never get it. We need to be sure we don't confuse Memorial Day with Veterans Day. Veterans Day honors everybody in the military, alive or dead. That's sort of incongruous when you get right down to it. When I go to Branson, Missouri, one thing every show in Branson does is they have all the veterans stand up. And I've always stood up because I am a veteran. But I've always felt a little guilty to be standing up next to people like John Quick, who most of us know, who was the only person that survived on his destroyer in World War II. The only person that survived. I didn't go through anything like that. Cynthia's father tells about during the invasion of Normandy, watching three of his best friends be cut in half by machine gun fire. Less than 5 feet from him, I went through nothing like that. I feel guilty standing with people who went through stuff like that. I do stand up because I want people to understand there are many of us who believe in this country. But what's important is to understand that God calls upon us, and God has always called upon us, to participate in memorials. We show what we value by observing memorials. In Acts 10 and verse 4, it's interesting, the statement made to Cornelius is, Cornelius, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial before God. We are known by what we value. And it's important to understand that God knows our priorities by what we value, by what we honor. It's amazing how many people in this country honor Elvis Presley, or honor Michael Jackson, or honor Marilyn Monroe, or... And I have nothing against these popular personalities, but I believe we need to emphasize the importance of honoring Jesus Christ. And so many in our culture will honor a pop star and never think about honoring the Son of God. We show what we value by what we observe in our memorials. And the degree of our appreciation for what has been done is radiated by what we give. There's a beautiful story in Matthew 26, beginning with verse 6, there was this woman who brought an alabaster jar of perfume. If you study the value of that alabaster jar, it was worth about $800 in our money. And she poured it over Jesus. And Judas complained. And it's interesting because in that passage, Judas is referred to as a thief. He didn't value what was done. But Jesus says, I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. The very next verse, Judas goes to the chief priest to sell Jesus for about $100 worth of silver. Memorials demand time. They demand energy. And I would ask you this morning to think about, what do you memorialize? What's important to you? What do you hold in memory? And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about time. I'm talking about energy. The degree of appreciation we have for God is reflected in what we give of our time, of our energy, of our strength. You'll notice in your bulletin, I have a little word study. It's kind of interesting to me that there are three different words used in the Greek to talk about this business of memorials. The first word, M-N-E-I-A, and these are in your bulletin, is a remembrance of people who have blessed us. In Philippians 1 and verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance. There's the word. Of you. We are to remember those who have blessed us. Be thankful for those who have given to make our lives more comfortable. Remember our husbands, remember our wives, remember our parents, remember those in our congregations who have blessed us. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6, Paul says, you have good remembrance of us always. I'm thankful for the heritage of this congregation. For those like Audrey who sacrificed and who participated in making it possible for us to be here. And those who have gone on. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 3, Paul says, I have remembrance of you. And there it is again. Those who have blessed us. In our prayers, we need to thank God for those who have been helpful to us in our spiritual growth. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 15, Peter says, have these things always in remembrance. It's good to think about those who have been so helpful to us in the past. There's a second word that's listed there. It's the word hupomenis, H-U-P-O-M-N-E-I-S in the Greek. It means to remember something that happened in the past. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, Paul says, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith which is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother and in your mother. We need to be remembering, recollecting those who have built faith in us that give us a foundation for life. Some of us have gone through and not had that. We know what a struggle that has produced for us. So as we remember those that are around us, and as we remember those who have blessed us, we need to think back to the past. 2 Peter, the first chapter, says, stir your minds by remembrance. That's what today is. That's what tomorrow is. Memorial Day is a time for us to stir our minds, to remember what a blessed people we are to live in this country. I think it's important for us to understand in the church, we've had people who somehow seem to think that the church is over there and patriotism is over here. And we certainly are to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar and unto God the things that are God's. But in Romans 13, Paul talks about give honor to those who are due honor, to obey those who are in civil authority, and remember in the past and being thankful for the fact that we have been blessed by where we live and by being in this country is something we should never take for granted. I don't know about you, but when I read the newspaper, I think probably once a week I sit down and say to myself, how in the world was I so lucky to have been born in this country? When I look at what would have happened if I'd been born in Iraq or in North Korea, and the list goes on and on and on. There's one more word that is used in talking about remembrance, and this is the one that we just participated in. And that is the word A-N-A-M-N-E-S-I-S. And that is a constant indwelled memory. In Luke 22 and verse 19, when Jesus was instituting the Lord's Supper, he said, this do in remembrance of me. And this word is a constant indwelling. You know, it's interesting to me. I cannot understand how anybody would think we should not partake of the Lord's Supper every week. When you look at this word says it is to be a constant indwelled memory. We need to stop and think about what a blessed people we are to live not only in this country, but at this time. In our class this morning, we have a new class going. I would invite you to come and be with us. We are studying for the next 5 weeks the book of Ecclesiastes. And what we've been looking at this morning especially is the difference between what it meant to live in a time when there was no promise of heaven, when there was no promise of anything beyond this miserable existence that we have here, when there was nothing beyond the pleasures of food and drink, the Epicurean pleasures, which we spent some time defining this morning, and to live in a time when there is something better. To realize that if I'm diabetic, I will eventually not have to worry about needles and blood tests. That's coming. That's a blessing. In the Old Testament, if you had diabetes, they detected it by having you urinate in a cup and watching to see if the flies came. That's how they tested, because they were drawn by the sugar. And if the flies came, they said goodbye to you. They set you outside the village. You were contaminated, and you simply died. What a blessed thing it is to live in the realization we won't always have that. What a blessed thing it is to realize that cancer and pneumonia and diverticulitis and all these things that we hear announced, that's all going to be gone. What a blessed thing to be constantly reminded of this. In 1 Corinthians 11, the passage we quote so many times when we're observing the Lord's Supper, "This do in remembrance of me." Keep recharging that battery. Keep being thankful for the fact that you have this hope. And to not be a person who has nothing to look forward to but more of the same and then death. God calls us to honor. And the honor word also has different words. You'll notice again on your in your bulletin, I have the original language there if you're interested. There are three kinds of honor that the Bible talks about. Three things we're to do in honoring. The first of these is the word doxa, D-O-X-A, in the Greek. And it is a special kind of glory. To seek glory, to give glory. It's interesting in John 5 and verse 40, Jesus says, "You refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept honor," and there's the word, "I do not accept glory from men. But I know you. I know you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone comes in his own name, you accept him. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another and make no effort to obtain the praise that comes only from God?" You know, we're not to be involved in a praise hunt. You know, I've known people that they have to be praised or they run into problems. You may not know this, but one of the things that's interesting, psychologists will tell you when somebody can't manage their finances, when they spend massive amounts of money on things for themselves, when other things more important go unattended to, it's because they are feeling that nobody thinks they're worth anything. And so they are praising themselves. Doxa. The actual condition has a big fancy psychological name for it, and the word doxa is in front of it. To seek glory, God tells us, don't be a glory hound. Don't look for praise. Revelations 19 and 7 tells us there will be one time that we will give glory, and that is to God in heaven. So we're not to glory, and we're not to give glory in that way. The second word that is used, which is kind of an interesting use and is the most common use, is the word timao, T-I-M-A-O, in the Greek language, and it means to give weight to something. To give weight to something. John 4:44. A prophet has no honor, no weight in his own country. I've used that a lot. Every time somebody doesn't believe me, I quote this passage, which is a misuse, by the way. But the idea is that it is difficult to have credibility when people know you too well, because they say, "Well, I know you. I know where you came from. Why should I listen to you?" You know why it's so hard to convert family? That's why. That's why it's so hard to convert family, because they know too much about you. And you may be a really good person and much better than they are, but the fact of the matter is you make mistakes too. Or as the saying used to go in the army, you put your pants on one leg at a time, just like everybody else. And it's important to understand that the Bible says this. You're not going to have an easy time with your own country, with your own family. But you still, as a Christian, are to give weight to people who are part of your family. Matthew 15:4, honor. The word used here is give weight to your mother and father. Give them weight. Pay attention to them. Meet their needs. I don't want to embarrass Bill in this, but I'm going to do it anyway. You know, the situation with Audrey has been an inspiration to many of us. She is an inspiration. Her sensibility, her sense of humor, her positiveness. But what has also been an incredible example to the rest of us is how Bill has attended to her needs. That's giving weight. And you know, I love to give local examples, and I don't know of a better example than what Bill has done with Audrey. And I think it's important to realize that this is what God tells us to do. Now, he still kids around with her. He still expects her to pull her own weight when she can. There's lots of give and take. It's kind of fun to watch them sword fight every now and then. But the fact of the matter is that he has given weight to her. He has honored her, and that's what God calls us to do. We need to follow that example. In Ephesians 6, in verse 2, and in 1 Timothy 5, and verse 3, we're told to honor widows. In 1 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 23, we're told to honor the unseemly parts of our body. We're to give weight to those parts of our body that may not be the most significant. That means take care of yourself. The unseemly parts are the parts that don't show. So God is calling us to take care of ourselves. Take care of the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that God's Spirit dwells within you?" God doesn't want us to just pay attention to our hair, to our skin, to the cosmetics. He's concerned about us taking care about what's inside. Romans 13, beginning with verse 7, we're told to give honor to civil authority. Give weight to civil authority. Pay attention to civil authority. So it's right for us to participate in Memorial Day parades. It's right for us to put a flag in front of our house if we choose to do so. There's no reason for us to be embarrassed or disturbed about being patriots. God calls us to give honor, to give weight to civil authority. The last type of honor that is on your sheet is the word entimos, E-N-T-I-M-O-S. And it means to do what is honorable. And this is a practical life skill. Luke 14 gives a classic example, and I love this parable. We're told it's a parable. When Jesus noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table of a prominent Pharisee's house, he told them this parable. Okay, you got to understand that this was a problem in Corinth, but when somebody had a dinner, there were certain seats that were preeminent seats, and whoever sat there were the big shots, and the little guys sat around the back, around the outside. So that's what's going on here. And Jesus says, when someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take a place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. And if so, the host will invite both of you, and you will come and say to you, give this man your seat. Then humiliated, you will have to take a less important place. You get the picture? You know, this guy thought he was a hot shot, so he comes to this very public thing. He sits down in the preeminent seat, and the host comes along and says, hey, there's a guy that's a bigger shot than you. You're going to have to go back there. That's pretty embarrassing. Jesus says, don't let that happen. Here's what he says to do. But when you were invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, hey, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all of your fellow guests. And then the conclusion, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Let me put that in modern, ancient paraphrase. Don't blow your own horn. Don't blow your own horn. Christians are to be people who sit back. And Jesus says, if you sit back, you will gain much more recognition by people recognizing you and asking you to move up, than to take the risk of being asked to step back because somebody is better than you. Today, we honor those who died so we can live. Today, we honor those, and tomorrow, we honor those who are moved up in honor when we participate in days like this. And right now, let us bow in prayer and thank God and honor those. Father, we come to you this morning so thankful that we live in this country, that we have the freedom to be able to express ourselves. And even though there's lots wrong with our country, Father, there's so much right. And there are so many things we take for granted. We thank you, God, that this country exists. We thank you that we have been so blessed as to be born in this country. And Father, we ask you to help us remember those who died that we might have this right. And we especially, Father, as each one of us thinks back to a son or a daughter or a father or a mother or a brother or sister or a friend who died in service to this country, we remember them, Father. We're thankful to them. We're thankful to you for the blessing that we have enjoyed. We don't understand how we have been so blessed. But Father, don't let us take this for granted. Help us as we worship as brothers and sisters here this morning to focus on and be thankful for the blessing that we have enjoyed. And as this Memorial Day weekend takes place and so many people are looking at secular things, at food and drink and boats and races and things to satisfy their own pleasure, we are wanting to say to you, we appreciate the spiritual blessings you have given us. We pray for this country. We pray for the leadership of this country. We pray for those who are in control of civil matters. Help them to make good decisions. Help us to be positive influences. And Father, as we look to our own situation, we thank you so much that we have the hope of eternal life, that you have blessed us with the ability to serve and to worship and to reach out to people in need and be blessed by being able to give. Father, don't let us take this for granted, and thank you so much for all the blessings you have given us. In Christ's name, amen. The last point I want to make here this morning is that we honor God by remembering all he has done for us. We sang, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow," before I spoke up this morning. Number 528. I hope you felt that you were honoring God in doing that. Praise God. All these things that we just prayed about, all these things we've just talked about. We honor God by giving to have his name exalted. The fact that before we leave here this morning, there's a woman out there wanting help. She knows that she can get help here. Isn't it wonderful that we can honor God by being able to give to this community? We participated in the communion service and we sang, "When my love for Christ grows weak, when for deeper faith I seek." We honor God when we remember Christ's death. And I pray throughout this week that we will honor God by how we live, by our speech, by the way we conduct ourselves in our business affairs, that this Memorial Day will be a time when we are strengthened because of remembering all the good things that we are blessed with. Our last song this morning is number 29, "All to Jesus I Surrender." I hope that you can mean that. I hope that in surrendering to Christ, that you view that as an honoring of Christ and that your life is brought into conformity to his teaching. And if you're not a Christian, we would urge you to do that, to not continue to live an ingracious life by not obeying God. And if your life has fallen into disrepair, we can always be glorifying God by praying his help upon you and praying that we will find the strength to know how to better assist you. If in any way we can assist you this morning, we invite you to come and express that as together we stand and sing, "All to Jesus I Surrender."